A few moments ago, we recognized this year's graduating seniors, two high school graduates and one college graduate. And we do this each year as a congregation as an expression of our support for our students. We want to celebrate their accomplishments. We want to mark this important milestone in their lives. We want to wish them well on the next stage of their journey. And each year we do this. The students are certainly appreciative of this recognition, but I would also guess they might be just a little baffled as to why we bother to do this. What's the big deal? They're thinking, it's just a graduation. Now, for those of us who are not graduating this year, us non-graduates, we may view graduation differently than they do. We see it as a singular moment in time, a specific date when diplomas are handed out and bad speeches are delivered and square caps are thrown up in the air. But for the graduates themselves, graduation, well, it's really just one moment in a very long journey. And this journey began for them on the first day of kindergarten, and it continued year after year, first grade, second grade, 12th grade. And graduation, it's not the end. It's simply a marker in a much longer journey through life. Now, last year, my own daughter, Courtney, graduated from high school. And I got to admit, I was a little bit disappointed that she did not demonstrate the proper excitement at the prospect of graduation. I really was hoping that she would run through the house shouting, "I'm graduating, I'm graduating! Whee!" But she didn't. And when I look back at my own graduation experience, I don't recall running through the house yelling, "Whee!" Graduation is certainly wonderful. It is a time to celebrate. But it's also accompanied by a certain inevitability. And for most students, graduation is not a matter of if, but when. Graduation is almost certainly going to happen. It is inevitable. By calling this journey inevitable, it does sound like the students have no choice in their lives. Of course they have a choice. They can change direction at any time. Now, parents and teachers may not like it, but students do have free will. No one's future is set in stone. My wife and I just learned that the son of a friend who just last week graduated from college is headed to Alaska to work on a salmon boat, and he's going to be on this small fishing vessel for 2.5 months. And I understand that his mother's not thrilled about it. Our reading today is from the book of Acts, and it is a story of inevitability. The book of Acts begins with Jesus' ascension into heaven, and then goes on to tell the story of the emerging church. The entirety of this book is a monument to inevitability. To an outsider, there is a certain randomness to many of the events in the book of Acts. There's the stoning of Stephen. There's Paul's being jailed. Paul's being shipwrecked. And then there are some churches that succeed while others fail. But the whole story is held together by faith. Those of us who understand this can see the web of faith moving throughout these stories, and the understanding that God has this plan for God's people. We see it especially today in our reading, which is really the almost mundane business of replacing and refilling a vacancy among the apostles. One of the 12, Judas, as we know, betrayed Jesus. Then Judas took his own life. And this depleted the apostolic rank from 12 to 11. And for Peter, who was in charge, this created an imbalance. And Peter recalled Jesus' words to the disciples when Jesus said, I confer on you, just as my Father conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Peter viewed the 12 disciples as a reflection of Israel's 12 tribes. The disciples are the new hope for God's people. And Judas' death leaves this void, which is just begging to be filled. And for Peter, the disciples cannot fulfill their calling if there are only 11 of them. Which tribe are you going to leave out of the equation? So, Peter gathers the whole community of believers together, and the purpose of this meeting, this gathering, is the first recorded order of apostolic business, and they need to find a successor for Judas. And Peter tells the crowd, friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, and Judas, who is numbered among us, is gone. He needs to be replaced. And Peter sets out the criteria for finding a replacement. And that is, it's got to be a man who had been part of the group from the beginning. Someone who had known Jesus. So, two names bubble up and are placed in nomination. Joseph and Matthias. And instead of voting, however, the group prays. And their prayer is this. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two that you have chosen. And so then, having selected the two, having prayed, again, they don't vote. Instead, they cast lots. And the lot falls to Matthias, and he becomes the newest apostle. Casting lots is not like flipping a coin, but the practice did have a deep tradition as a means of determining God's will. Casting lots was an expression of faith. It was a recognition that God's hand is present here in our lives. And so this raises the question, what is faith? Some would say that faith is simply having a belief in God. But it's more than that. Faith is believing that God is actively involved in our lives, that we are not just bouncing randomly through the universe. Faith is the belief that God is calling us. We are as free to follow God's call as we are to joining a fishing crew in Alaska. Our call to worship this morning is taken from the very first Psalm, Psalm number 1, and it makes this point explicitly. Psalm 1 says, happy are those whose delight is in the law of the Lord. They do not follow the advice of the wicked. They do not walk the path of sinners. They are like trees planted next to water. They will grow and flourish. They will yield fruit in the right season. In all that they do, they prosper. In other words, there is an inevitability to the lives of those who follow the Lord. They are like a tree planted in a good spot. They are going to grow. They are going to produce fruit. The wicked, as the psalm says, the wicked, on the other hand, they lack this rootedness. As the psalm says, the wicked are blown about by the wind. There is no inevitability to their lives because they have nothing to guide them, nothing to anchor them. Now, I've remarked on this before, but where I have clearly observed the presence of faith is at the death of a loved one. The occasion of a death is certainly a time for grieving. We all grieve. But for those people who have a grounded faith, they grieve, but their grief is contained within an understanding of God's presence and God's plan. With these people, even in this time of sadness and loss, there's still a calmness, almost a serenity. But for those who lack faith, all you find is chaos and confusion. Their grief has nothing to contain it, nothing to give it meaning. And my heart always goes out to these people because their pain is so raw. In the earliest days, the followers of Jesus were not known as the church, as we call ourselves today, but they were instead known as the way, the people of the way. And you'll recall Jesus' words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And this word way means path or road. And those who follow Christ are travelers along that path. In his book, Alice in Wonderland, Lewis Carroll offers this exchange between Alice and the Cheshire Cat. Alice says to the cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the cat says, "That depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And Alice says, "I don't much care where," and the cat interrupts, saying, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." And Alice continues, "As long as I get somewhere." And then the cat says, "Well, you're sure to do that if you only walk long enough." Now, this dialogue has been paraphrased into a quote that you may recognize. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. As people of faith, we may not know our exact destination, but we do know which road to take. Faith in God is the understanding that God journeys this road with us. We are not wandering aimlessly. Because God travels with us, there is an inevitability that we will reach our destination. And the nature of the destination may be a mystery, but we will get there. And as a congregation, we are traveling this road together. And in recognizing our graduates today, we are saying more than just congratulations, job well done. We are letting them know that they are not traveling alone. The church is the people of God walking a path together, bound together in our faith, knowing that our Lord is always with us. Amen.